All righty, we're going to get rolling here. All right, today we celebrate, you know, the resurrection, but that power is available to us, you know, each day. We need to remember that. My message today is on Resurrection Sunday, and I'll be looking at things, you know, in three different ways. Last week, we looked at Palm Sunday in three questions, and it seems like the Lord led me on the same tangent this week, so I'm going to stay on threes a little bit. Hopefully next week we'll break that cycle. We'll see what happens. But anyway, it'll be good, I hope. All right, so Resurrection Sunday. Have you ever tried to explain to somebody the unexplainable? Something that you really can't put the words. The apostles had to do this. They had to explain it. You know, almost everything about the resurrection of Jesus Christ defies logic. Fortunately, we have faith as an option in our life where we can, you know, fill in the areas that are missing. And that's what faith does. It fills in those blank spaces where logic fails. Now, logic comes by information, but faith comes by revelation. Now, a lot of people think faith is turning their heads off or their minds off, but it's really not. Faith is not turning our minds off the reason, but what it's doing is opening up our minds to spiritual understanding. And that's what we need to get to in our life, is spiritual understanding. Because man is a spirit, he has a soul, and he lives in a body. So it's the spirit side of man that connects with God. And that's why the Bible says we must be born again. I know I tried to understand God before I got saved, and then I tried to understand God after I got saved, and I'm still trying to understand God. But I will say this, it got a lot easier once I was born again. Because my spirit became alive to God. The barrier of sin was taken away. And then I could start to tap in and receive revelation from God. The passage we're going to look at today is Luke chapter 24, verses 1 to 9. And a very common passage on the resurrection. We're going to read just a part of it. It says, "But on the first day of the week at early dawn, they came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they had entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men suddenly stood near them in dazzling clothing. And the women were terrified, and they bowed their faces to the ground. And the men said to them, 'Why do you seek the living one among the dead? He is not here, he has risen. Remember how he spoke to you while he was still in Galilee, saying that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, on the third day rise again?' And they remembered his words and returned from the tomb and reported all the things to the 11 and to all the rest." Let's pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for the unction of the Holy Spirit to be here today. We thank you for the anointing that's here to break every yoke of bondage on our lives. Lord, we open ourselves up to what the Spirit of God says to the church. And Lord, we just thank you for the anointing of God to be here, just to set us free, just to break off the bondages and everything that's holding us back from really pursuing you with our whole heart. Lord, we know the Bible says if we're going to run a race, run to win. Lord, help us just not to put in our time, but help us to excel and to be able to receive everything that you have for us. Lord, I yield to the gift you give me. I use it for your glory. I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips and the gifts of spirit to be in operation. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, the first thing I want to look at today is the idea of three surprises. Three surprises that the women ran into when they went to the tomb. Now, think about this. You know, they had to, you know, they took Jesus' body down on Friday, and then due to the Sabbath, nobody could really do anything. So the women, everybody had to wait. They were just waiting. So the Bible says they got up early in the morning. I'm sure they're excited about it. They got up early enough to get all everything ready, and they wanted to go and anoint his body. Now, the first thing they ran into, the first surprise, was the fact that the stone was rolled away. Now, in different passages, you know, it talks about how it was sealed, and they didn't want the body to be stolen, so they put Roman guards around it and all these different things that happened. But primarily, when they went there, they were not sure how they was going to get inside. But when they showed up, the stone had been moved away. Now, the stone was huge. It wasn't just something a couple women could move. But see, we have to understand the idea that the stone was not moved to let Jesus out. The stone was moved so that we could see in. See, the difference, what we're going to understand, this, it's hard for us to get our head around. It's a faith fact, and we got to get our mind around it, was the idea that when we get a glorified body, it's a body that can be touched, but evidently this body can do other things and go through things. And Jesus was able to appear to the apostles from time to time. So it's a different kind of body. So the stone didn't have to be rolled away for Jesus to get where he was going. The stone was rolled away so we could get to see that the tomb was empty. And that's the second point we're going to surprise, was that the body was gone. They went there, like I mentioned. They loved him so much. And all they could think about was giving him a proper burial. And there's something that goes off inside of us when we lose a loved one. You know, there can be a lot of issues in the family and things like this, but one thing I've noticed is that when it comes to this, people want to give somebody a proper burial to honor them. And that's what these ladies wanted to do. They wanted to honor him. But when they went in there and the stone was rolled away and then they looked inside, the body was gone. Not there anymore. I wonder, have we left Jesus somewhere? Think about it. You know, maybe we leave him at church when we leave this place. Catch him next week or next month or next year or next Easter. You know what I'm saying? Or maybe we leave him in our prayer closet. You know, maybe we leave him at certain holidays, Christmas and Easter. You know, all these things. But, you know, we don't want to leave Jesus somewhere and misplace him. You know, we want him to go with us everywhere we go. And so the ladies here, they were perplexed. And the word perplexed is talking about they didn't know how to proceed. Have you ever ran into a situation in your life where you didn't know how to proceed? You're just totally lost. Didn't know which way to go. You didn't know what to do. Didn't know who to go to talk to. Things were just, you know, out of your, you just couldn't understand them with their mind. And, you know, I know this for a fact. You know, when you bury somebody, you expect them to be there when you go to visit the grave. You know what I'm saying? You know, you expect them to be there, but here he was gone. He wasn't there anymore. And they really hadn't understand. Remember, he says that Jesus preached all these things to them. But in the moment of their greatest need, see, they watched a very horrific thing happen. It was very traumatic. And so it probably made them so they couldn't understand, you know, everything that Jesus had told them. And it put them in a bad place. See, the resurrection of the body is very important to the Christian faith. Now, from my perspective on what I know about God, the real me is on the inside, spirit and soul. The body is something that's going to be changed. You know, when I die, I'm going to leave this body here for a while until Jesus comes back and I get a glorified body. But I real know I know that the real person is my spirit and my soul. So it could have been so easy just to say, you know, that God, you could have just, you know, when we got born again, just saved the spirit and soul and that was enough. But no. The resurrection of the body is very important. There's a couple reasons, you know, that we need to stick up for that, because there's a lot of new age thinking and different things like this that believe in reincarnation and, you know, all these different things that really gets off base. Number one, the fact of the resurrected body is that it's living proof, and that's no pun intended, right? When the body rose from the dead. Now, we will not be disembodied spirits, like I said, new age thinking and all this. You don't get to come back and get another shot at it. The Bible says that man's appointed once to die and then comes the judgment. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians that if there's no resurrection, we're still in our sins. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, talking about sanctification of the spirit, soul, and body. See, when Adam sinned, sin came into mankind. But God did not want to lose it. God wants to restore us, spirit, soul, and body. Even though this body's falling apart in some ways as you get older and different things. You know, when we get that glorified body, that resurrected body, it's this proof that God came to redeem all of mankind. And that's very important. You know, just kind of like Jesus rode on the donkey on Palm Sunday was a validation of his personhood of a Messiah. The resurrection from the dead validated that he was the Son of God. Romans 1 verse 4 talks about he was declared the Son of God by the resurrection. He was proof that he was the Son of God and that he came to save mankind from their sins. The third question that we might run up against here is the idea of who are these two strangers? You know, they weren't there before. You know, they were probably a little off balance with the two first problems, two first big surprises. Stones rolled away, number one. The body's gone. Now, who are these two yahoos? You know what I'm saying? What are these guys doing here at the body of Jesus? I've never seen them before. You know, what's up with that? Well, it's kind of interesting what happened here was that they were in dazzling clothes, and we know they were angels. And they asked these two women a very deep and theological question, and it's one that I want to ask today. Why do you seek the living among the dead? Very profound question. Very challenges us at the core on what we believe. Number one, why do you seek the living among the dead? That kind of should have tipped the women off that Jesus ain't really dead. Why are you seeking somebody that's alive right now among the dead? Good question. See, the women are like you and I sometimes. We get stuck on Friday. See, that cross that we have up here today is a symbol of what Jesus experienced on Friday. Very horrific, everything that he went through. I know this one's kind of dolled up a little bit with the, you know, the pretty garments and stuff. But the cross was not a very pretty thing. You know, Jesus was first beaten beyond recognition, then he carried his cross, then he hung on that cross, and all his followers were there, and they watched him die. They watched him die right before their eyes. Something about that is a traumatic memory. A traumatic memory is something that gets lodged inside of us, and sometimes it gets us in a pattern where we can't shake that thought. And I'm sure that's what happened to the people that followed the Lord because they got stuck on Friday. To me, we can get stuck there. When I was a kid, you know, some of you younger people may not know what these are. If you go to a museum, you might find one, an LP record. You know, we used to have to put these LP records on, and you couldn't jump around the house because it would just cause it to skip and scratch, you know. And then the bad thing that really happened is when you got your favorite song on an LP record, then you got a scratch in that record, and then it would get stuck in that groove because there were just a groove, a circular groove that would keep going. If it got a scratch, it would get locked in that spot and would say the same words over and over and over, and it couldn't get out of that spot. You know, if it was a favorite part of your song, that's good, but if it wasn't, that's bad. But see, what happens is when we get focused on Friday all the time, we get stuck in that groove, and we can't break out of that. And we get that traumatic thinking of something bad that has happened in our life, that something wasn't fair, and then we just can't shake it. So I want to challenge today, I believe the Lord told me to speak this to somebody, don't get stuck on Friday. We all go through Friday to get to Sunday, but also don't let Sunday be someday. Declare that today is your Sunday. Resurrection power is here for you today. Do not get stuck on Friday. And maybe you get off of Friday, you get in Saturday, and you don't really know where the Lord's at. You know, what's going on? But I tell you, you need to get to Sunday in your life. And resurrection power is available for you, and it's available for me today. Have you ever went through something in your life that really surprised you? You know, I was thinking about this, and I just wanted to throw this out here, and I already kind of alluded to it earlier in my message, is the idea of what happens when a person is born again. Because it really surprised me how my interpretation and my understanding of God's Word just totally changed. And maybe you're here today and you've never given your life to Christ. I want to challenge you to think about that today as we go through this message. To know that God has a plan for your life. And I know what it's like to sit in church. I mean, I was slower than a lot of people. I was not the the shiniest dish in the cupboard. I went a year to church before I finally surrendered my life. I was there faithfully every Sunday. You couldn't beat me away with a stick. Because I knew there was life there, but I just didn't know how to get that life. I didn't want to surrender my life to get that life. To finally, I couldn't take it anymore. I had to have Jesus. I had to have him in my life because I knew I'd tried everything else, at least most things, and I could never find that joy and that peace that these people were preaching about, and I was looking in the faces of other people that they had. So I knew I had to surrender. And when I did that, my life was changed. That is the power of resurrection. Amen. The power of resurrection that's available today. And it's available right here, right now. The next point we want to look at today, after the three surprises, is the idea of three revelations. First revelation I want to share is the idea that it changes our focus. The resurrection does. It changes our focus from death to life. It causes us to look forward, not backward. You know, we are programmed to think that death is the end. But really, I know it sounds kind of weird, but death is just the beginning of the eternity that's yet to come. You know, we need to live with an eternal worldview. And what that means. This life is short. This life is not everything that God has to offer for us. And we have to understand the concept of what it really means and the idea that death is not the end but the continuation. And maybe we'll get this here. How many have a favorite TV show? Some of you do. You know, we kind of like a few, and one of them is NCIS. This year, we're going to watch their series finale. It's over, well, other than reruns. But I want us to understand the difference between a season finale and a series finale. See, a season finale means they're coming back. But a series finale means it's over. And I want us to see today that death is not a series finale. Death is just a season finale. We're coming back. We're coming back. Because how do I know that? Because Jesus says we are. Jesus said he's going to return with the church, those who have died and went on to be with him. And we need to be ready for that and make preparations for that. Next, it talks, what it does is, you know, it changes our focus from the cross to the resurrection. You know, I believe in the sacredness of the cross. You know, but my humble opinion, I believe we need to focus more on the new life that Jesus Christ has given to us. I've been in churches when I used to travel and preach as an evangelist that, you know, some churches just focused on the suffering of Christ. But I believe we need to focus on the resurrection of Christ. Because it's the resurrection that's going to give us that freedom. To me, the cross is a symbol of freedom. You know, it's the greatest plus sign in my life that I've ever experienced. And like I say, I don't want to take away from it. You know, but, you know, I'll be honest, the cross started with a minus sign, didn't it? When that beam was stretched across the Lord's back and he carried that cross, it looked like a minus sign, didn't it? But when they rose him up, and when we lift up Jesus, that turns into a plus sign. So we need to focus on the vertical and not just the horizontal of what happened. I believe in the suffering of Christ, but I also believe in the resurrection of Christ. Now, we have an empty cross. The Protestants celebrate an empty cross. Jesus Christ is not on the cross today. He was there roughly about 6 hours, and he paid the price. That's all there was to it. Done deal, finished. So we have an empty cross, and we know we have an empty tomb, but hopefully we will not have an empty heart. Because if we have an empty heart, then we've missed the point of the empty cross and the empty tomb. That's why we need to let Jesus Christ come and to live inside of our heart. See, the message of the empty cross is that everything's been paid for. He's not there now. And Jesus does not have to go to the cross to pay for our sins. Because when Jesus Christ was on the cross and it was over, he said, "It is finished. It's over. It's a done deal." There's no sin that you can commit that he can't take care of. There's nothing that you've done in your life that hasn't been paid for. And never let the devil lie to you saying that you're not worthy and that your sins are too great. Because I do believe in the power of the blood of Jesus that is far greater. And we need to focus on that and not on how we fall short. The next point of this is the idea that it changes our focus from our feelings to Scripture. You know, feelings are okay, but I do know feelings change. You know, even in our moments of severe pain, I believe that we can find comfort in the Scriptures. The Bible says that when we walk even on our darkest path, that His light, His Word is a lamp unto our feet. So no matter what you've been going through or no matter what you're running to, you know that God's word is there to be able to turn it around. In the later part of this chapter of Luke 24, it talked about a couple disciples and on the road to Emmaus. Now, these disciples were very discouraged, as you and I would be, if we had probably watched the Lord Jesus Christ die the death that he did. We'd probably think, well, we put all our eggs in the Jesus basket. You know what I mean? No Easter bunny intended here. But we put all our eggs in the Jesus basket, and Jesus died. Now what do I do? Well, they were leaving Jerusalem. They got so discouraged that they went away. But the Lord wouldn't let them go. The Lord appeared to them, and he started talking to them, and he opened up the scriptures to them. The Bible said there were burning in their heart. God was revealing to them and opening them things up, and then they partook of communion together, and you know, and they were turned around. And what happened is that maybe you feel discouraged today, and maybe you too are going the wrong direction in your life. I just want you to know to let God's word turn you around. Let it bring you back to the place that you need to be. Because I believe that when we turn our heart around, God will turn our life around. Amen. And I know this works as it worked for me. And I am no more important than you are. Thank you. Have you ever noticed that your feelings can get you off track? Don't follow a feeling Christianity where you only serve God because you feel good or it's emotionally appealing to you. I love it that we clap and have a good time here. But I'll tell you what, how about we go through a hard time? Are we going to turn our back on God? No. We don't go by feelings. We go by what the Word says. The Word says Jesus will never leave us. Jesus will never forsake us. And we need to have confidence that he will keep his word, because I know that he will. Lastly, we're going to look at three observations. Three observations from this passage. Number one, we should never fear death. What the Father did for Jesus, the Father will do for you and me. You know, Jesus, the Bible says, was the first fruit of many brethren. There's more to come, and there have been more to come through the centuries. Every believer that has put their faith in Jesus Christ. The Bible says, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Every time a believer dies, their spirit and soul go to be in heaven while their body waits for the day when Jesus Christ comes for the church. We should never fear death. I know it's something out there. It's kind of a radical thought. But if we believe in the afterlife, like the Bible says, then death is just the next step. It's the next place that we're going. No more sorrow, no more pain. Amen. Just get to be with Jesus all the time and, you know, just worshiping the Lord and just waiting for that great day when we come back and we put the devil where he belongs. Amen. And the Bible said, I'll tell you, one of my favorite passages when I first got saved, because I'm all into Jesus. You know, I don't like it Jesus don't get the props or the respect that he deserves. But that scripture that says, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I wait for that day. When I see my Lord and Master finally exalted and getting all the praise and glory that he deserves. And that is going to be a great... You ought to just come along just to see it. It's going to be awesome. All right. Amen. Next, resurrection power gives us an advantage. I think we need an advantage in life. You know, resurrection is a faith fact, is what I call it. You know, the verse 11, we didn't read there, but it talks about the word nonsense. When the women come back and talk to him, they said, you know, you're talking nonsense in the Greek, or foolish talk, or what we say today, crazy talk. You know, the idea of resurrection kind of is out there. I know it is. I know it's kind of hard to wrap our natural mind around. But it's a faith fact. And a matter of fact, Jesus appeared to over 500 people back at that time. It's documented. Not only in the Bible, but other books, that Jesus Christ appeared to other people. So it's a fact. He rose from the dead. So we need to understand the power that resurrection gives us. It gives that advantage. So resurrection life gives us abundant life. And if we have abundant life, we should never seek them life of things that it talks about. Remember it says, why do you seek the living among the dead? You know, why as a Christian, once we come to know Jesus Christ, why do we go out into the world and try to find fun and try to find life in the things that we never could find fun in before? So that's why we turn to Christ. At least that's why I did. I mean, I tried a lot of different things. Nothing fulfilled me. Nothing gave me the peace in my heart. No matter how much I did, I had to have more. But when I met Jesus and I got it all, it gave me that peace and that satisfaction. I know there's nothing. You know, it's a scary place to be knowing that you can't turn back. You know, I'm at the point of no return. Are you? Are you at the point of no return in your walk with God? Where there is no turning back because you know too much? Amen? I hope we get to that place. Because we need to. Because that'll carry us on to the next wave of what we need to do. Some Christians are more of an archaeologist than a follower of Christ. They're always digging around in dead stuff. An archaeologist. They're always trying to find life in dead things and try to find meaning. But I do know there's no life there. There's nothing that you and I could do to be able to get it. It's like, you know, what happens when we do that? It's like stressing works over relationship. You know, when we try to earn our salvation, it's like trying to reinvent the wheel. It's already been done. You can't do it. There's nothing you can do to make your salvation any better. Jesus Christ paid the price. All you have to do is believe, and you go free. How much better deal is that? Well, it ain't technically free. He does require that we give our life to Him. Did I leave that part out earlier? I hope I didn't. We give our life to Him. But it's a good deal. Don't take this personally. I don't know all of you, but take your miserable life and trade it in for His glorious life. I'm not a big time businessman, but that seems like a good deal to me. We trade our life and we get His life. To me, that's the greatest decision that anybody can make. So we don't want to put things ahead of contentment. Now, why do we do that? You know, I figured out in my life when I just pursue Jesus, I don't really chase after other things. Last thing I want to look at is the idea of Jesus keeps His word. We looked at this a little bit last week, but the idea, you know, Jesus, when He walked the earth and His followers, they didn't want to hear it. You know, they couldn't handle this truth, but Jesus said, He told them when He walked the earth that He would be delivered over, He would be crucified, and then rise from the dead. Now, crucifixion back then was mainly held over for super enemies of the state of Rome, criminals in what way, shape, or form, murderers, thieves, you know, the bottom of the population, shall we say. And here Jesus said, I'm going to die that way. And they couldn't handle it. But everything happened just as He said. Just as He said. You know, we need to get to the place in our life, and if we're not there today, let's get there today, where we exalt the Word of God as absolute authority in our life. And parents, we need to train our children in this, that God's Word is the absolute authority on this planet today. It doesn't matter what everybody else is saying. It doesn't matter what culture says. What matters is we need to know that God's Word is true and it's real, and that we need to say, the Bible says this, that's the way it is. Because parents, we tell them here at church, and I'm not meddling in your life, maybe a little. You need to tell them at home. You need to back us up and we'll back you up. Amen? Amen. God's Word is truth. And this culture needs to get it, because we're losing ground, because we're not on the same page all the time. Lastly, I just want to share again, if you're here today, don't get stuck on Friday, because everybody goes through a Friday in their life in order to get to Sunday sometimes. And don't let Sunday be someday, but declare that today is your Sunday. So as today we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, I want to leave with this thought. You don't have to wait to die to experience the resurrection life. It's available today. It gives us the power to overcome the world. And that's what Jesus Christ came to do. We are at enmity with the world system. That's just the way it is. The world hates us. Satan hates us. But Jesus said, I have overcome the world. And when we put our faith in Him, we can overcome the world also. Let's pray.